The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Dr. Ram, how you doing today, baby? Give it to me.
I'm gonna see if it works on my headphones. I won't black out at you.
Okay, that was a good one. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. You hear it every single Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central Time, right here on the TKR app. Thanks to the 100,000 folks who would download the app. And, of course, a lot of people listening to our podcast, Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, we're on every major indice. We're out there, man. Look up Dark Side of the Pooch or Tony Curry Radio Podcast, and you'll find us. Always brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Let me tell you something about Ed's Pet World. And I'll actually ask the first question about giving pets as gifts for Christmas, because we're in the holiday season. A lot of people are doing that. If someone's asking for a pet, an exotic pet, I know a lot of people don't like big animals. You can get like handheld stuff. You get sugar gliders, and they've got ferrets down there and birds. They got all kinds of great fish. They got rabbits. They got rats. They got tarantulas. They got it all down there. And if you're perhaps wanting to get something that's not furry and you want to get like a toy, you can do it with Seth's Toy Closet. He has, it's about 50-50 right now. He travels the entire United States looking for unboxed, unused toys. If you've got some stuff up in the attic, bring it in, buy, sell, or trade. It's unbelievable. You get watches, Battlestar Galactica stuff, Star Wars stuff, all kinds of great toy selection at Ed's Pet World right down there in beautiful Homewood for nearly 50 years. Let me ask you something about that. What is the proper way to go about giving a pet as a gift for Christmas?
Don't surprise people unless it's your own kids.
There you go.
Don't surprise family members that aren't your kids. You know, don't surprise friends or coworkers, because they might not want it.
Yeah, you're right. Just because you think it'd be a great gift idea doesn't mean that they'll think it's a great gift idea. And I speak from experience. I went out with a woman right around Easter time. This is about 25 or 30 years ago. And I thought it'd be really sweet to bring her a baby chick on our first date. And it was the only date we ever had. She's like, okay, so what? She thought it was beautiful and it got me to first base. But then she's like, what am I supposed to do with it? And I just had it in a box. I was like, well, it's your chick. You do what you want. So it didn't work out too well. Not good.
Enjoy this burden that I've bestowed upon you.
Exactly. Dark Side of the Pooch, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter. And of course, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook, 208-0301, 208-0301. If you want to board your animals for the holidays, you better get on it, because they're getting after it. We got some mutt mail we'll get into in a few minutes. I sent you a story earlier this morning. And this really bothers me, because we look at doctors, you know, they take, and I know you're a doctor, you're a veterinarian of pet medicine, and you take an oath to do what's best for your patient. In this particular case, it's kitty cats and dogs. But evidently there are some very overzealous veterinarians out there who realize just how much we love our pets. And I think we love our animals more now than we've ever loved our pets. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
And so they'll do whatever it takes to keep your pet alive, even if it's better for that pet to be put down at a particular time. Listen, there's good cops, bad cops. I realize that. And there's good vets and bad vets. Thank goodness we only do stuff with good people, and you're the best. But can you talk a little bit about that and how that sometimes it feels like maybe you're going into a mechanic and you've got, you know, a little ding. And unless you trust that mechanic, you realize that maybe they go in there and screw something up in your engine, so you'll have to continue to go back. And next thing you own, you're for a $5,000 car repair. Do people do that with pets?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that they do it intentionally.
Yeah.
Okay, so the article in question was a lady who took her pet to a regular, you know, her general veterinarian, and they thought they found the problem. They gave it some medicine. It got better, but then it got bad again and maybe even worse. So they referred it to a specialist, and the woman ended up spending, you know, several thousand dollars, I think just shy of like 10 grand or something, at the specialty, veterinarian. And, you know, all the people that we deal with, I trust. You know, we work with a couple of different specialty practices and emergency practices. And, I trust those people, or else I wouldn't recommend that the pet go there. Now, there's just, I don't know, there's a lot of ins and outs to the story, and to anyone who's ever had, you know, dealings with an animal ER, you know, first of all, you should expect, just like you and I expect with our own health, if you go to the ER, it's going to cost more.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost more because you have people there that are working nights. They're working 12-hour shifts. It is high stress. And the overhead for your staff at an ER is way higher because those people demand way more money to work from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, you're going to spend way more on everything. That's just the nature of the beast. So to me, honestly, articles like this frustrate me a little bit when they say, well, I went to the ER and I spent way more. Well, yeah, no, yeah, no crap.
Yeah.
It's like that in human medicine too. And then, you know, the other thing about this article, the way that people can know that they are dealing with someone trustworthy is when they're given options.
Yeah, there you
go. You know, if you go to a place and they say, here is what you have to do, it's going to cost you $10,000 and there is absolutely no alternative, then you probably need to pump the brakes and talk to somebody else.
There you go.
Or at least ask that person, is there anything else we can do rather than doing two MRIs and, you know, all of these other things? And the other thing with that article is, you know, they did a test on the dog, and then the test inadvertently caused another problem with the dog. And, the owner of the pet was very upset that that happened. And of course, everyone would be upset. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't be upset if that happened? But, you know, with our job, we are not working in absolutes. I would love to say that we are, but I don't even want to say mistakes happen, because mistakes would indicate negligence of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But, unforeseen problems, they happen all the time. Not all the time, but I mean, they happen, you know, and I think there needs to be a certain level of grace. You know, if you are dealing with a veterinarian that you trust, you know, I think that a little bit of grace needs to be shown, because nobody's perfect. So I think if, you know, the moral of the story, try to find options. Not everybody out there is bad, but just like any business, if you want to pick a, you know, any service ever, there are people out there that are trying to steal your money.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people out there that have your best interest at heart. And I would love to say that veterinary medicine is an exclusion to that, and everyone has your best interest at heart. But, you know, just like any other business on earth, there are people out there that just want your money.
Yeah. And if they're kind of pointing you in that direction, I had this with Freddy Dog. We had a nice conversation about Freddy Dog. He was my basset hound. I only had him for a couple of months, and he got bitten by a poisonous snake in my backyard. And of course it was after hours. And so I took him to a place, and I won't mention it. That was an emergency place, and they did wonderful work. And I get this phone call like at 11 o'clock that night saying, am I willing to pay like $2,000 more to give him mouth to mouth? And I mean, having learned through you, and I believe I called you and said, what's the deal? And you're like, absolutely not. You don't give a dog mouth to mouth resuscitation. I mean, I guess you could, but in this particular case, just because it's a poisonous, snake bite, he should be fine. And it ended up costing me $1,800. But I mean, I was like, absolutely not. It's one of those things where I was like, well, will he have to have it? She's like, well, you know, if he stops breathing, you know, that's the way we're going to have to go. And I was kind of like, it kind of scaring me, because we do a lot of things based on fear. And I said, no, he's good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We got some emails here. We got also great emails. info@tonycurryradio.net. info@tonycurryradio.net. We have the owner of a 22-year-old dog named Gino Wolf. And he said, this is the reason my dog has lived so long. He is sharing his secret. We'll have it for you a little bit later on the show here in Dark Side of the Pooch. One other story I wanted to get to before we get into our mutt mail here. I don't know if you saw this story. A dog was spotted running through Mexico a couple of days ago with a severed hand in its mouth, leading to the discovery of 53 bags of human remains near a drug cartel. I mean, scary stuff. when a dog finds something like that, and we've seen dogs find bones, you know, we certainly have search animals. That's their job. But when a regular mutt goes out and finds stuff like that, what's happening there? Do they sniff something? Do they smell something? Or are they just finding something that feels good in their mouth?
No, I think they smell it. Yeah. I think they smell it. And then I don't know if they're so inclined as to take a severed hand and run around with it, then, you know, they don't really know what it is.
It's probably pretty cool.
I just know that it smells weird.
I would think it's kind of strange. All right. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net, at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook, 2080301. Julian Ardmore, she heard our show last week. You were telling a story about evidently having some dogs. They were going to visit some in-laws. The in-laws said, "You're not bringing your dogs here." They had to board them up. She just had her in-laws in town for the holiday season. There were Thanksgiving, and she had two dogs, and they shed a lot. She said she brushes her dogs every single day, but they're just shedders, and the in-laws are like, "We're not staying here with all the shed and hair," and so they left and got a hotel room, which obviously probably made her happy. What's the best way to stop your dog from shedding? I got an Australian Shepherd. I had him shaved down, and I know a lot of people say you don't do that to Australian Shepherds. It was the best thing I've ever done. I have not had hair in my house for about 3 months. It's been glorious, but what's the best way to get rid of a shedder?
That is the best way. Yeah. It's the only way.
Shave him down, right?
It's the only way is to get rid of the hair, or you can take them outside and brush them, you know, until, you know, not a lot of hair is coming out anymore, but I mean, that's what happens. Hair is going to come out. It's natural. So if you don't want to deal with the hair, then just shave them.
Is it just and are there breeds that are bigger shedders than other breeds? Obviously, you're thinking short-haired dogs, they probably don't shed a lot. I mean, every dog sheds. I mean, how humans shed. But are there some dogs that are known just to shed a lot more? And why does it seem like the majority of the hair comes out of the back part of the dog, the ass part?
Actually there's a certain hair length that, sheds more, and it's actually kind of medium length hair. Like labs, dogs that have similar hair to labs, they're going to shed a lot. And, you know, I don't know why some people feel like a certain part of the body would lose more hair than other parts. You know, I think that probably more hair seems to come off the back, because when we pet dogs, we pet them from front to back.
Yeah.
And we're actually just bringing hair all throughout the length of the dog, and it all just seems to collect at the back when it's really coming from everywhere.
It always seems right on the haunches, man. There seems to be always big patches of hair that'll just, you can just pull it out almost like cotton. I mean, it just comes right out of the back.
Yeah, and that'll happen too. Yeah, when they're shedding a lot, you'll see tufts of hair that are ready to come off.
Yeah. All right.
And so that's what that is.
All right. Daniel in Sterrett also had a little bit of an in-law issue this Thanksgiving. He's always fed his Rottweiler bones. He gives his dog all kinds of bones, and certainly turkey bones is another thing he gives his dog, and his dog's never had any issues. And his in-laws are like, "You can't do that. You can't give your dog cooked bones. What's the deal with bones? And is it okay if he's always done it?"
As long as they don't get enough bones where the bones get stuck and they don't move, you know, if they get stuck in the intestine, then that can be an issue. And as long as it doesn't give the dog an upset stomach, if the bones stay in the stomach, they'll dissolve, you know, the stomach acid will break them down. But if they, for some reason, get kicked out of the stomach into the small intestines, then that could be a problem. So, I mean, I don't feed my dog bones because I just don't want to deal with any problems.
And, yep.
We've talked before on the show about, you know, how to avoid the vet, and, you know, not feeding stuff like that is a way to avoid the vet. Maybe the best way to avoid the vet is just feed them dog food.
Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Some great mutt mail this week. Another one here from Mark in Rainbow City. He said he was making his Thanksgiving meal. He was making some Pillsbury, little Doughboy, little rolls. Love those little rolls you roll up there. They're great with butter. And his dog got a hold of a couple of raw ones. And his in-law said, "You got to take him to the emergency right away. It could kill him." True?
No, you know, if dogs eat a lot of bread, it can cause that, they can ferment in their stomach, and it can cause, I mean, basically you can consider it a alcohol poisoning. But if it's a big dog and it's a couple of rolls, I think you're fine. But when we're talking like whole loaves of bread or, big, like if you're baking bread at home and they get a big pile of dough, you might be in trouble.
What about raw eggs or things that have bacteria that can normally hurt us? Do they hurt dogs?
Yeah, just like you or I, dogs can get salmonella.
Okay.
For sure.
Speaking of the holidays, I don't know if you saw this story. It was great. There was an X-ray at a TSA. It was leaving JFK and it was being checked in and they saw the X-ray of
a cat.
A cat, yes. A cat trapped in the luggage and carry-on luggage. They're like, "What do you got in your bag?" And the guy's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And they unzipped it, and the cat was sleeping inside his carry-on luggage. He was unbeknownst to him. He said he didn't realize that the cat had jumped into his luggage. He called his wife. She came to the airport to get the cat. It could have been probably horrible for that cat. We talked about this last week. There's cats that just like to do things like that, right?
Yeah, so the guy said that the cat just went in on its own.
He said he had no idea it was even in there, and they showed a picture. When we get done with the show, check out cat X-ray at TSA. It's amazing. I mean, you can see the cat, you can see its bones, and someone obviously thought that he was carrying a dead cat with him, and it was alive.
Yeah, cats like to get in luggage, and I think if that cat hadn't made it onto the plane, when that thing started making noise and taking off, that cat
man, would have been bad
peed
news.
And pooped all over that dude's luggage. And wherever he was going, he was going to need to hit up a department store.
Cats on a plane, that would not be good. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Great place. I take all my animals there. You should too. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World down there in beautiful Homewood. Nearly 50 years in the business. They got toys and exotic pets. If you're looking for a great holiday gift, go down to Ed's Pet World. They're unbelievable. His number is 208-0301 for Rossbridge Animal Hospital, Rossbridge Vet. On Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. We got some more mutt mail we'll get into here. Bill in Huntsville wants to know, why do male dogs lift a leg and female dogs squat? That's a great question.
I think it's because they don't want to pee on themselves. And boy dogs, if they, they're likely to hit their leg if they don't raise it up or at least get some spray back.
Yeah. Do they know that though? Because if you squat, we could sit on a toilet too, but if they squat, it's just heading down towards the ground, right? Or does it get on their leg?
No, it's going to get at that point, it's going to get on their front legs too, if they just squat. So, if you notice they raise their leg up and they lean their body so that it goes to the left or right of their front leg. And it also doesn't get on their back leg. If they were just to kind of squat, it's going to go straight in front of them, maybe hit their chest or hit the ground and ricochet on their front legs. So it's all about just not getting pee on you.
I am having a serious problem. The last few times, and I mentioned this several shows back, whenever I walk both my dogs, I have a bigger dog and a smaller dog. They're both smelling the same pole, the same hydrant, the same tree. And my big dog always pees on my smaller dog while he's still sniffing. What is up with that? And I'm like, dude. And you would think he would know he's about ready to take a whiz on Frisco Dog's face. And I have to watch them because Frisco Dog will just, he doesn't necessarily mark his territory. He just wants to sniff and then he moves on. But is that normal?
I mean, I think that Frisco needs to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? He does it all the time and I'm not paying attention. And I'm like, but if they're smelling the same spot. I try to walk.
Rainer, Rainer probably doesn't even know that he's there. He's like, look, I'm going to go. And I don't, there's a little dog down there. I don't know. I just got to go.
All right. Tracy in Irondale says, is it normal for your dog to stare at you while you use the bathroom? She said her dogs never come into the bathroom unless she's going potty. And if she leaves the door open, they'll sit there at the door and stare at them. What are they doing?
My dog doesn't do that. I'm not really sure. Maybe there's noises in there that they're investigating, or maybe they think it's weird that she's sitting on something that's not actually furniture.
Do dogs know, based off our smells, do they get, I've always wanted this, and this is kind of disgusting, but if my dog's sitting next to me and I pass gas, do they know what's going on there or do they like that smell?
I don't think they know where it comes from unless they hear it.
Yeah.
If they just smell it, I wouldn't think that they would know exactly what's going on. Dogs like nasty things, so I wouldn't be surprised if they liked it. But, of that, I'm not sure. But I don't think they have any idea unless, it makes a noise, and then maybe they could, because, dogs know where noises come from.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't make a noise, I don't think they have any idea.
You're listening to Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. Of course, he's the man out there at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. He came up with the name. He's got the place. It's unbelievable. 205-208-0301. Rossbridge Vet at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. And you can check him out. Are you on Instagram?
No, I'm not. I think one is enough for me.
You do TikTok videos?
No, I don't.
Oh, dude.
Nobody wants to see me dance.
No, but
or
your
do
dog,
whatever you do
your
on
dog's
TikTok.
Dancing would be awesome, man. I'd absolutely love that. Hey, speaking of our original story to start the show, and I just thought of something I think is really, really interesting, and it kind of goes along with an email we got to at info@tonycurryradio.net. Do you have to buy malpractice insurance?
Yeah, we have liability insurance. Yeah,
really? Is it expensive like it is for a regular doctor, or is it? Have you had any issues?
No, I've never had any claims filed against me, and I mean, I'm sure that it's probably not what a huge. I mean, let's be honest. There, there might be some people that think a animal life is worth the same as a human life, but in the law of the courts, it is not.
Yeah.
So we have insurance. I'm sure that it is nothing compared to what a human physician would have.
You're probably right. Ed's Pet World brings us Dark Side of the Pooch every week. Another interesting story I saw. This is a great story about a guy who adopted a 7-year-old animal. He's had it for 15 years. He didn't know how old it was when he first got it. He now has the world's oldest dog. Its name is Gino Wolf. It's out of Los Angeles. It's a 22-year-old pug. And of course, a lot of people are not only asking old people, how do you stay alive so long? Or what do? Do you work out every day? Do you have a martini every night for dinner? What do? You pray a lot. Are you a forgiving individual? How do you keep your dog alive? Do you know what he said? His biggest secret about keeping animals alive so long?
Well, I think the answer should be to maintain a healthy weight.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's what this guy
that's
did.
Part of it. He said, by loving his animal, he believes by just giving it love. He said, we don't love our animals enough. Now, we just talked at the top of the show here just how much we love our animals now. I think we love our animals more than we ever have. And I go back to, a dog was obviously, when I get home from school, my dog was the first thing I wanted to see, even beyond my parents. I mean, I loved my dog. But, it's pretty much an outdoor dog. It kind of came and went as it did, and I'd see it at nighttime. But we weren't around it petting it all the time. But he said because he has made that animal part of his family, and pretty much the animal does everything with his family, he thinks that's why that animal's lived so long. That, like, it's got the will to live longer because it doesn't want to go.
I mean, who am I to disagree with that?
Yeah. Do you find older dogs and older cats in your business that they have more care? I mean, not more caring, but they have individuals, obviously, that bring them in, so they obviously care for their animals. But, I mean, you see how adults treat their animals when they're in your office, correct?
Yeah. And I think that there are some, you have to have some luck, too, to get to be, that age, because – there are people all over the world that love their animals more than they love anything else, in the world. And these dogs still, can die at 7 years old because it gets a huge abdominal tumor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's definitely something to be said because a lot of things fall under, the category of if you love something, you're going to take care of it. And if you love something, you're going to make it a priority and you're going to do the things that you need to do to be sure that thing stays well and make it a priority. So I think there's a lot of things that go along with that, but just like a person, living to be, 110 years old or whatever, it takes, taking care of yourself and it takes probably a little bit of luck or God just not being ready for you yet.
Yeah. But why is it that smaller breeds live so much longer than larger breeds? And is there a pre-genetic disposition to that or how's that work?
Well, smaller dogs have smaller problems. And so they don't get a lot of joint disease because there's a lot of dogs that they get to a point where they can't move around anymore. And so that's one reason we euthanize them. And you don't really see that in smaller dogs because you can't You can get little carts for dogs, but it complicates things.
Yeah.
So it's not like you, it's not like a person where you, when your mobility declines, you just, you get a walker or they put you in a wheelchair. You don't do that with dogs. And small breed dogs don't get the same joint issues that large breed dogs have. They're also not prone to cancer, abdominal cancer or bone cancer like larger breed dogs are. So they just don't have the big genetic problems that larger dogs have. They have their own problems, but they're problems that you can live with chronically, like heart disease and kidney disease. Those things can you can hang on for a long time with that kind of stuff. But when you get a big abdominal tumor, or you get bone disease, or you get bone cancer, joint disease, that's not something you can really live with. You can't maintain your everyday function.
Do you have any dogs on wheels at your place?
No. I mean, I have seen a few dogs in my career that have had those, and I've told a lot of people about them,
Those are
but it
cool.
they are cool. But it becomes a more of a quality of life for the owner at that point.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work for an owner to have a dog that is immobile in the hind limbs and is attached to a cart.
I mean this in the most compassionate way, but have you ever seen a dog with four wheels?
No, I don't think I've ever seen a four-wheel dog.
That would be pretty cool to take your dog for a roll, wouldn't it not?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. All right, it's the holiday season, Dark Side of the Pooch, 7 o'clock every Monday through Friday. Always an interesting show here with Dr. Rab Stewart, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Anything else going on at your store? Anything fun you want to share? Anything interesting coming in the store?
Off the top of my head, it's just been kind of business as usual, routine
Okay.
stuff as of late.
All right, continue to do your thing. It's brought to you by Ed's Pet World. They are known for exotic pets for nearly 50 years. They're not only going to sell you an exotic pet, give you a great deal, but they're also going to tell you how to care for it at the best so it will live a long and loving life, a healthy life. Check them out. They have everything from bearded dragons to tarantulas. They've got great fish. They got birds. They got a cockatoo down there. They got it all, man. I mean, if they don't have it, you're not going to find it anywhere. Plus, Seth is into his toys. About 50% of the place is Seth's toy closet. It's unbelievable. Kids absolutely love it. All these wonderful collectibles still in the box. If you've got some at home you found, he'll buy, sell, and trade. He goes all over the country to find the best stuff. Watches, all kinds of collectibles. Check out Ed's Pet World. Until next week, my friend, thank you so much for everything. I appreciate you.
All right, man. Talk to you next time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.